Imam Malik for his graduation test, he was asked one question. There was three big imams, big scholars of the Medina. They were testing him, and they asked him, what do you think, or who do you think is the worst of people? من هم سفلة الناس. سافل means very low, the lowest of people, the worst of people. He said, الذي يبيع دينه بدنياه. The one who sells his deen to buy the dunya. And that means, to explain it according to most scholars, that means those who have their merchandise, the deen is their merchandise. They make money by selling the deen. Giving you an example, let's say somebody comes and asks me a question. This is halal or haram? I tell him this is haram. And then he takes like $500, $600. This is hadiyah for you now. This is haram or halal? Second thought, maybe we can find a way for you to give it. It happens at our time. Someone who's selling the deen to get the dunya. Unfortunately, and this is normally a alim or a mufti or an imam who has the knowledge, and then he changes, he knows this is wrong, but because of the money. So his merchandise is his ilm. He's selling it for the dunya. You cannot isolate deen from the dunya. You will see deen everywhere. Even if you're doing math or whatever it is, you're lying, right? When you're doing this, are you lying? Are you doing anything haram? Then the same thing. But mostly it's the knowledge of deen. Why? Because you know what's haram and halal, and you're playing with the rules just for money. And unfortunately, at our time, you see these people, especially with what we call ulama al-sulta, the sheikhs and the scholars of the governments. Unfortunately, some so-called Muslim countries, they do things that are haram, but they have their mufti told them it's halal. And the mufti comes on TV and he says it's halal. There was one guy, I don't have to say, he was paid by the government, and he said hijab for the ladies is not fard. He said that. And he's a big mufti of one big, I don't have to say which country. Big Islamic country, he came on TV. And he said, for ladies who live in the West, hijab is not an obligation. Of course, he got, you know, a lot of people attacked him and this, but for the money, they do this. These are the worst of people. They sell the deen for the dunya. They asked Imam Malik, do you have a proof? He said, yes. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. You make your rizq, the way you get your income is to kadhibun, by lying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people ask you, is this halal or this haram? When they give you the money, you're selling your deen for the dunya. So the scholars told Imam Malik, this is a good answer, but there is a better answer than that. Who can be worse than even person who sells the deen for the dunya? He said, man yabi'u deenahu bidunya ghayrih. Whoever sells his deen for someone else's dunya. What does that mean? How to explain that? Let's say, just for example, to understand it, Brother Rashid comes to me and he says, is this halal or haram? I know it is haram, but he's a good friend of mine. I don't want to hurt his feelings. So I say, it's okay, it's halal. What did I get? Nothing. I didn't even get money for that. He got the dunya and I lost my deen. These are the worst of, they didn't get the dunya or the deen. You see, the first one, they got the dunya temporarily. They lost the deen, but they got the dunya at least. The second one did not get dunya or deen. For somebody else's dunya. He got the dunya and I sold my deen. So this is the most terrible people, is the one who sells his deen for someone else's dunya. They told him that is the right answer, and he gave him the graduation, the certificate to give the fatwa. And he was very young, as we said. He kept his halaqah for 70 years. We talked about his teachers, we talked about Ibn Hurmuz, we talked about Rabi'a, we talked about Ibn al-Ashhab, and we talked about Nafi', right? We talked about four of his teachers. Some other teachers he had actually a sister that was teaching him, Aisha. She was the daughter of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, one of the 10 promised paradise. Aisha was one big scholar, and that tells us that religion and the knowledge of deen is not only limited to the brothers. The sisters share the same responsibility to learn and teach it to others as well. And we see that, subhanAllah, in our schools, most of the staff are female. For some reason, maybe teachers have more patience and stuff since they raise up the kids and stuff like that. But anyhow, Aisha bint Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas was one of the Imam Malik's teachers, and Ja'far al-Sadiq. Ja'far al-Sadiq, where all the knowledge of the Shia comes from, is from Ja'far al-Sadiq. Although, of course, Ja'far al-Sadiq, they kind of changed many things. He said, Ja'far al-Sadiq says, and it's known that he said that, I love Abu Bakr al-Siddiq because he's my grandfather. And it's true. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is related to Ja'far al-Sadiq, one of his great grandfathers. So how can, you know, some people say otherwise? Anyway, of course, Imam Malik, when we say his teacher was this and that, that does not mean he agrees on everything they say. He had his own opinion. That's like Abu Hanifa learned from Ja'far al-Sadiq as well, although he had his own opinion that never changed. It's always good to increase our knowledge if we have, of course, the filter to know what is right and what is wrong. Now, we were talking about respecting teachers, and we said many times, we cannot hope to learn much from a teacher that we do not respect. One time, and this is a nice story to mention here, Imam Malik was sitting with two of his teachers, Rabi'a and Ibn al-Ashhab. Remember, Rabi'a was the one who cared much about the etiquettes, the manners, and Ibn al-Ashhab, that teacher that hates to repeat. So one time they were sitting, so one man came and he wanted to ask a question. He asked the question. There were three there, Imam Malik, Imam Rabi'a, and Imam Ibn al-Ashhab. Of course, Imam Malik is the student, and we said Imam Malik, by the way, although he started his own halaqa when he was 17, he kept attending his teacher's halaqa. After he does his halaqa, he goes to his teacher's halaqa until he became 40. So all these years, he was gaining more knowledge. And we said, we can never say I reached the top of knowledge, there is nothing I do not know. Every time we learn more, we know that we don't really know much. Anyhow, so he was sitting with his teachers, one man came, and Imam Rabi'a answered the question. Ibn al-Ashhab looked at Imam Malik after the man left. And Imam Malik did not say anything. He said to Imam Malik, I can tell from your face that you're not happy with the answer. You see how close they were. I mean, how can you tell from his face? He did not say anything. You look like you're not happy with the answer. So Imam Malik did not say anything. Now the other one, Rabi'a, the one who answered, he said, oh Malik, if you have a different opinion, tell me your opinion. And again, that tells us that teachers need to listen to the students sometimes. So he said, tell me, what is your opinion? Imam Malik said, I think your answer is not the correct answer, and I think this is the correct answer. Ibn al-Ashhab smiled. He said, and I think what Malik said is correct. Rabi'a said, what didn't you say when he was here? The man was here and he asked and you remained silent. He said, I was afraid that I might disrespect you in front of the man. I wanted to remain quiet until you ask me yourself. You see how much respect they had. Of course, it was not a big matter, because if it was a big matter, you should have said something. And they went, and they went after the man and they told him. But the bottom line, the story here is, although he knew what is correct, he would rather to stay quiet because his teacher was speaking. A big thing for the students to learn. Again, if we want to learn, we need to have a lot of respect for our teacher.